Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. We'll begin our reading in verse 35. It's actually Acts chapter 8. I always do this. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Well, let's read verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? The eunuch had been reading Isaiah 53, which is a prophecy regarding Christ as the servant who would save his people. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what Baptists have been doing for over 2,000 years. Preaching unto people that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father but by Him. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. The title of my message this morning is Why Baptists Baptize. Now, the account of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch is a powerful testimony to the sovereign grace of God. I mean, God went raised up Philip to go to one man that had been appointed unto eternal life. God orchestrated and brought all the necessary means to pass to bring this eunuch to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God always gets his man or his woman. Now, it also illustrates that for Baptist baptism to be valid and scriptural, it has to be done right. There is a gospel order set forth in these verses. And it's very plain, very simple, very direct, and true Baptists have been following it ever since. And it's this simple. Christ is preached as the only way to God, the only means of redemption and forgiveness, that His death, His burial, His resurrection is the only way a sinner can be saved. They must express faith. Somebody took all my waters. Here, oh, Oh, I was just about to panic. Oh, that's got some age on it, that water there. Now, Christ is preached. The Ethiopian believed. He believed the message that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, the only Savior of sinners, the only way to heaven. And then, and only then, was he permitted to be baptized by Philip in water. Not with water, but in water. He was immersed completely. Philip preached unto him Jesus. I'm going to have trouble today. I can already tell it. He did not in any way, shape, or form point the eunuch to the water to obtain salvation or to reach the blood of Jesus Christ. He directed the eunuch to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ from his heart. Do you believe with all thine heart? An inward work of grace had to be done. The Holy Spirit of God had to give him saving faith from the heart, his innermost being. The eunuch confessed saving faith and professed his desire to follow Christ in the ordinance of baptism. So he was saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, justified from all things, on his way to heaven the moment he believed, before he was ever baptized. That's always been the Baptist way. Christ before the church, and blood before water. Now, I'm going to say this, and I believe it with all my heart. If you believe that you have to add anything to the work of Jesus Christ, whether it be works, ceremonies, ordinances, baptism, the Lord's Supper, charitable giving, church membership, if you add any of that to the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are off base. And you are not preaching or embracing the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't add anything to the work of Christ to be saved. It's all of Him. It's not anything that you do. And in fact, if you believe and teach any other thing, the Bible says you'll be accursed. Very clearly, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. He said it twice for emphasis. You see, work salvation in any form is a damnable, heretical doctrine. Baptists have never believed that. They've never taught it. They've never practiced it. And because they have stood so firm, they have been persecuted. They've been tortured. They've been maligned. They've been mocked. They've been burned at the stake. They've been drowned. Because they believed in salvation by sovereign grace alone, by Christ alone. And they would never bow to the religious authorities who tried to convince them through coercion of another way, an additional way. It's the reason why our forefathers, we trace our existence back to Christ in a trail of blood, because they were persecuted and hated. I am not going to give up the New Testament way. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to believe it, even though it may not be popular. You know, there are plenty of people that are dropping Baptist distinctives today. Let them be honest and go their own way. I will not, because I believe this is the Word of God. Why Baptists baptize? Number one, Baptists baptize first and foremost because Jesus Christ, the great head and supreme lawgiver of His church, commanded us to do so in the Great Commission. It's a command that He gave to His church in Matthew chapter 28. It's repeated in various forms in all the Gospels, but it says in verse 19, or verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Jesus gave the Great Commission to His church that He started before the day of Pentecost during His earthly ministry. And we baptize new converts and also those who desire to come into our membership who do not have Baptist baptism. We baptize them according to this primitive way, according to the command of our Lord. We are to only do what Christ commanded. We have no right to usurp the authority of Christ by attempting to change the administrator, the subject, the mode, or the reason for baptism. Jude 4 says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And no matter how popular a doctrine may be, no matter how many religious folk say that this is how we're going to do it now, we're going to do it the Bible way. We're going to do it the scriptural way, because it's a command of Christ. And we're not to alter that in any way, shape, or form. Number two, Baptists baptize because they are following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. To my Campbellite friends, to those who belong to the Church of Christ, was Jesus baptized in order to be saved? In order to have His sins forgiven? Was He baptized to wash away His sins? No. It'd be blasphemy to state such things. But I can show you why He was baptized. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of Him." Now people giggle when I say this, but it wasn't John the Roman Catholic. And it wasn't John the Greek Orthodox. It wasn't John of the Church of England. It wasn't John the Presbyterian or the Methodist or the Church of Christ. Who was it? John what? The Baptist. Does that make people mad? Yeah, I kind of like it. All right. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Notice, Jesus said that baptism is an act of righteousness. It's a good work produced out of the work of God. Well, we're not saved by works of righteousness, which we have done. Titus 3:5, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. We're not saved by any works of righteousness. We're saved by Christ's righteousness. Now, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. It wasn't some little bowl. He didn't come up out of a little bowl, you know, where the priest was sprinkling some water, or the preacher. No, he came out of the River Jordan, because he was completely immersed. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I believe this is an affirmation of Christ's deity and also his baptism, his kind of baptism. You see, Jesus, everything that you need in baptism is found here. You have the proper authority, the proper mode. He was baptized by immersion. Jesus Christ had Baptist baptism. And if Baptist baptism is good enough for the founder and the foundation of the church, then it should be good enough for us. It's the one that we ought to follow. Number three, why Baptists baptize? Because we deem the Scriptures to be our final authority for all faith and practice. We are duty bound to follow the pattern set forth in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, there are no babies baptized. There is no sign of the covenant. As the Presbyterians teach, they simply baptized believers. People who trusted Christ, who genuinely had been saved by the grace of God. And that had to happen first. And you can see it in different passages. Turn over to John chapter 4 in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard, now notice the order here, that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Made disciples first, then baptized them. All right, turn over to Acts chapter 8. And verse 12. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Notice, again, very clearly, there is an order here. There is a scriptural order. You must first be saved by the grace of God before you are baptized. It's not hard. It's very simple. It's not complicated. You know, whenever somebody in the religious or political realms don't want you to make a point, they'll say, well, that issue is just so complex. We need to leave it to the experts. We need to leave this issue to the Word of God. Not to the experts, but to God's Word. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Again, there's an order. You say, why are you making such a strong distinction? Do you realize that Baptists have been the only denomination since the times of Christ who have literally separated salvation from baptism? Do you understand that? Why do people baptize babies? Because they think in some way that's going to wash away some original sin. That's poppycock. It's kicking nuts. It's crazy. A lot of people believe baptism has some saving qualities. There is absolutely no magic in H2O. It doesn't save you. An ordinance can't save you. Only Christ can save you. And we have said that and contended for that and believed that and will continue to believe that. Only believers were baptized in the New Testament. No infants, no sprinkling, no pouring. And up until 1820, think about this. You realize that Baptists were the only ones baptizing believers by immersion. So, well, what about the Greek Orthodox Church? They baptized babies by immersion. How can he confess? Most babies have no idea what you're talking about. Now, mine did. My kids were so smart. I was teaching them the doctrines of grace from their mother's womb. But the fact of the matter is, there's no infant baptism in the Bible. It's not in there. And you know what? Nobody was being baptized to be saved. Nobody was being immersed to be saved until Alexander Campbell broke off the Presbyterian Church, tried to fly under the colors of the Baptists for a time, but then exposed himself by teaching that you had, in order to get to Christ, you had to go to a mediator, the preacher, who puts you in the water where you get to the blood of Christ. That is heresy. It's not found in the Word of God. Sadly, Baptists today are not teaching these things. And that's why these truths are going by the wayside. Why Baptists baptized? Because they alone were given the authority to perpetuate the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. If baptism by immersion in water of saved believers upon profession of faith is to be performed, it must be done by the proper administrator, and that is the New Testament church. One of my granddaughters, Ella, you know her, she comes to church a lot on Sunday night and sometime on Wednesday night, usually on Wednesday night. She made a profession of faith. They go to another church. And she said, Papaw, I don't know if it was her or Emma, but could you baptize me? And I said, no, I can't. I said, I can only baptize those who come into our membership. I have been authorized to baptize by this church. Now, this church can authorize me to go on a mission trip and preach the gospel and baptize converts, but I can't just go around. I can't go over into Huntington and say, hey, you want to be baptized, man? Come on. I can do it. No. It has to be by the authority of a New Testament church. One of the reasons why we insist so strictly, so strongly on Baptist baptism is because it ensures doctrinal unity and purity. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one kind of baptism. It ensures. See, I look at baptism as a filter. You know, if you don't want to submit to Baptist baptism, this isn't the church for you. Because this is what we believe the Bible teaches. It's why we won't accept, for example, someone who, I believe Grace Gospel over in Huntington preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but we would not receive their baptism. We do not consider them to be a Baptist church or one of like faith and order. They're out of order as far as we're concerned. We would not accept their baptism. We won't accept the baptism of those who were immersed by the authority of the Church of Christ. You know, if you want that baptism, stay in that church. It's just that simple. I'm not saying people aren't saved. Baptists alone have been the ones that said anybody can be saved regardless of their denomination affiliation. I don't believe for a minute that Baptists are the only ones going to heaven. But if you're going to go, you might as well go first class. That's what my preacher used to say. I'm not trying to take away anybody's salvation when I want to do things the biblical way. Baptists baptize new converts because it is the means by which the Holy Spirit leads and adds to the Lord's church. You find that in Acts 2:41, when they, as many as believed and were baptized, were added unto the church. Today, when we baptize the Halls, now, Brother Daryl and Hannah, they've already been saved. They have already trusted Christ, but their baptism was not of like kind. So I explained to them, this is why we do what we do. And you can ask them. I didn't try to proselytize them. I did not in any way say, if you don't get this right, you can't come here. You're not our friends. We hate you. We didn't do any of that. I just simply gave them the truth and said, this is our stand. This is what we believe. And you have to be convinced that it's the Lord's will. And I left it at that. And that's been several months ago. Now, I admit I did give them a book that I wrote called Teachings on Local Church. I don't know whether they read it or not, but I did give them that because I believe that to be true. But it adds to the church. See, if you don't insist on Baptist baptism and you have a Pentecostal over here, you have a Church of Christ over here, a Presbyterian over here, a Methodist over here, and they all got differing, you know what? You're not going to have a unified body. It's just not going to happen. But there is one unifying element, and that is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then Baptists baptize because they are participating in a solemn symbolic vow with that new member who has committed their life and their loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ and His kind of church. Turn over to Acts chapter 6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as... That means it's when something's like something, it's symbolic. It's a picture of it. As Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. This is a solemn vow. You're professing your allegiance, your loyalty to Jesus Christ, who died in your place and who raised again, and you're declaring that you're being raised in newness of life to walk with him and in him and serve him in his New Testament church. That's a heavy responsibility, a vow before God. And that's why Baptists baptize. It's a solemn, it's a serious, it's a scriptural ordinance. And I know that what I've taught this morning is not in vogue by the overwhelming majority of religious folks in the world. Well, I got news for you. Baptists have never been in vogue. They've never been in the majority opinion, if you will. And it's one of the reasons why they've been derided and hated. I'm going to stand by what I believe the Bible teaches. Hopefully until the day that I die. Until the Lord comes. That's why Baptists baptize. We're dismissed. All right, we're not going to have a song. We're going to get going right now. And Joe will lead you in a couple songs.